Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We got breaking news today all over the place, 2:24 in the afternoon right now, and I'm just sitting here staring at the TV, watching it update as we go. General Kenneth McKenzie, the commander of U.S. Central Command, is giving the first press briefing since the bombings this morning. And by the way, it was what they call a coordinated attack. If you're not familiar, this was not some random dude who strapped on a suicide vest. A coordinated attack means a number of things. And if you've got a military background, you'll know. And for those who don't, I'll just go ahead and explain it real quick, that a coordinated attack is literally something that is put together with some planning and operational skill. Now, this doesn't seem like one of those high-tech ones, but what it's basically doing right here is you've got bombs going off at two different places. One bomb then channelizing people and enemy forces into the other bomb, combined with small arms that are coordinated to be launched with the gunfight that ensued around the bombings. The other thing to be taken into account here, by the way, though, is you watch this, is the Taliban, who apparently the Biden administration has been trusting implicitly. And by the way, we still haven't heard from President Biden. It's now been hours. How long has it been? It's been about 8 o'clock this morning when this all broke. So we're looking at, we are 6.5 hours at least from what the outside world knew. I would hope that the White House knew about it sooner than that, and we still have yet to see President Biden. But nonetheless, the coordinated attack that took place this morning has claimed the lives of 12 individuals, and it's an amazing story. So I said earlier I was going to play a clip. Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, who retired from the U.S. military a few years ago, he was one of President Trump's first national security advisors, just a sharp individual. I've had a chance to get to meet with him personally, and I mean very personally. When I assumed battalion command some years ago, I went to the battalion pre-command course at Fort Benning. At the time, he was the commanding general at Fort Benning and hosted all of us in the battalion command course over to his quarters, and we had a very small, kind of tight-knit group of about 10 of us that hung out at his house for an evening. He also came and sat with us, and he's one of those, he's very cerebral. He's also a warfighter, and he says it like it is. He's very blunt. He's got an amazing story personally. If you ever read his personal story from Desert Storm, the dude is certainly a warfighter, and he leads that way, but he's also, like I said, a very cerebral general. Copper, let's do this. I want to go and play clip 9. Clip 9, General McMaster said this morning about the possibility of leaving this situation with our honor intact. Copper, go ahead and play clip 9.
As the threat from attacks is built up, sometimes these attacks come in waves, and the first attack is a signal to other attacks. I've been to that airport, and I know exactly where that area is. It, in a normal time, is a sea of humanity, and in this time was thousands and thousands of people outside these blast walls with concertina wire, as Jen rightfully describes, with Marines on the inside, but making decisions, life and death decisions, as mothers are pleading for their children to be handed over the wall to get to safety inside. Now, just think for one second here that the last U.S. service people to die happened back in February of 2020.
Well, that wasn't quite the clip that I was looking for, Copper. I'll tell you what, do me a favor. When we get in the next break, which is only a minute or two away, I want you to weed forward to see if I got the timestamp on it wrong. But what we're looking for here is the closing comments from that entire segment when General McMaster said what it would take for us as a position of leadership to actually leave that country with honor. And so we're gonna find that clip because it's an important one to play, and it'll help also come, you know, bring my opening comments around and sort of tie them up. I will do this though. I'm not gonna leave him on the line too long. I've got about a minute left. Let me go ahead and take Dan on line one, Copper, while you take a look at that sound clip for me. Dan on line one. Hey, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Dan, what you got?
My friend. Very intelligent human being you are, very knowledgeable. But you're going to get, from me, most of the time you've heard when I call, you get a blue-collar guy. Sees it like it is. And I'll tell you right now, you've heard the phrase, cheaters never prosper. Mm. Well, they cheated, and we got this guy for president. The only problem is that you and I are suffering along with him, and we don't want him.
Yeah. Well, and hey, Dan, you're exactly right, man. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm thinking, and by the way, Dan, we're up against a hard break, so I want to take your call before we got to it, so thank you for that, and I appreciate your call. But what he's basically saying is we're stuck with who we got as the president right now. Whether we like it or not, President Biden is the president. I respect the office, but I do not believe that he is leading at all. In fact, I don't think he's ever led anything in his entire life. I mean, I'm not saying that loosely. Go look at his resume. Tell me what he's ever led. He's always had the opportunity since he was in his 30s, early 30s, because he ran for office and got elected in 1973, I believe it was. He's always had the ability to go make the speech and then step away and not have to own the results, because he's never been in charge of Jack. But now he's in charge of everything. And look how it's going. Wow. Well, folks, a whole lot of show here. We got some good stuff happening later on. I will tell you, I'm going to enjoy Copper's Corner and sit back for a minute and let her have the microphone. We're also going to have the Grand Council at 4 o'clock with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be talking Afghanistan and even more right after this. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Love to say it every time. We are solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, if you find yourself driving outside the range of our extremely broad capabilities on AM and FM at WVNN, just know that you can listen to us anywhere. Just click, go on your phone real quick, click on rightsideradio.org, and go to the Listen Live button, and you are listening live no matter where you are. Hey, folks, it's a breaking news day right now. So it's 2:36 p.m., and I'm sitting here watching the Pentagon brief is about wrapped up. I think it has wrapped up, actually, now that I say that. Brett Baer was just making some comments that I'm going to come back to here in just a minute. But before we do, I want to see, Copper, can we get that clip? Hey, tell me, Copper, you got that thing ready to roll? Okay, all right, let's do this. I think what we played there was actually an earlier part of the same interview with Brett Baer, just kind of opining for a minute, which is fine because he's pretty good at it. But then the part that I wanted to hear was General McMaster. So let's try that again, Copper. Clip 9.
...is going to get much worse even than what we're seeing
but
in
sir,
the scenes today.
But, sir, everything you lay out is appropriate. And everything you talk about is the decision that now goes to the commander-in-chief. Mm-hmm. How does he respond?
Well, we have the capability. The question is, do we have the will, right? We defeated ourselves in this war. The Taliban did not defeat us. We defeated ourselves. And so the question is, can we muster the will? Will the American people demand more of their leaders that they actually, in war, try to achieve a noble outcome rather than surrender to a terrorist organization?
H.R. McMaster, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. So will we wind up with the honor intact, or will we surrender to a terrorist organization? That's where we are right now. And we still haven't heard anything from the White House. I don't mean just from the president himself. I mean, there has been zero statement made from the White House. Go figure. And I'm gonna touch on that in a minute. In fact, you're going to be shocked when I tell you in a minute what Vice President Kamala Harris has been doing, what her priorities have been over the last few days. Oh, by the way, where is Congress right now? Do you know that Nancy Pelosi recessed them in the middle of all this? What in God's name? So all said and done, we have a dearth of leadership right now in Washington, D.C. We have a bunch of people who have never had the honor of leading squat who are now in charge of everything. And they are struggling to find their backside with both hands. And I'm just telling you, Brett Baer made a great point a minute ago. He pointed out that in the briefing we just saw that was on TV, literally while I was getting on the show and doing my monologue with you, that literally... General McKenzie said that they are sharing intelligence right now. I'm sure it's low-level intelligence, but they're sharing intelligence with the Taliban to try and gain some assistance from them to secure the perimeter around the airport. What? I mean, literally, just if you think about this, it wasn't but just, what, a month ago, we were bombing the Taliban. We have been their enemy, and they have been our enemy for 20 years. They helped assist in the... At least, at the very least, they accommodated those who planned and executed 9/11. But now we're sharing intelligence with them and trusting them to help secure our position so that we can get out. And if you think about this, let me point out something that I have heard virtually no one say yet. the Taliban have secured the external portions of the perimeter around the airport. We know they are because they're beating people up when they try to come in. They're checking their papers. They're roughing them up. You can see some videos where they got sticks and they're walking around whacking people on the head with them. And so the Taliban had the outer ring. These bombers that got in today, the folks that had the small arms that got in and created the firefight to accompany the bombings, literally, they just had to have gone through Taliban checkpoints to get there. The Taliban were the ones who were allegedly being trusted to secure the outer ring, and yet people carrying weapons and at least two wearing suicide vests were able to come through the Taliban outer ring to get close to the wall in such a way as to kill a number of civilians and 12 U.S. service members. I'm hearing right now, I don't know for a fact, but of those 12 U.S. service members, what I'm hearing is that it was 11 Marines and one Navy corpsman. Folks, that's maddening. Now, where is the White House right now? Well, we don't know. I mean, I guess they're hunkered down in meetings, you know, trying to figure out what to do. I mean, we have had the briefing now from the Pentagon. I have seen nothing from the Department of State. The Pentagon did say, by the way, they are continuing with evacuations, and that's a positive. And I'm glad to hear it. General McKenzie also said that he believes that he has sufficient troops on the ground right now. I would hope he is not being political. He said he has sufficient troops on the ground right now to secure the perimeter of the Kabul airport. Okay. But there's going to take more because this ain't done. And we're going to find out here within the next 24 hours. We're going to find out what this White House is made of, if anything. Is this White House a house of straw, or is this a White House that can't be blown down? And the legacy being left on this White House is going to be determined in the next 24 hours. I'm not kidding, y'all. I am not kidding at all. It is one of those things that you watch it unfolding and you're thinking, do they even know which way is up right now? Because we're not seeing it. Now listen, where is Vice President Kamala Harris? Right now, reports are that Vice President Harris, by the way, has the lowest, approval rating of any vice president in history. And that's amazing. Let me grab this piece of paper over here that I've got some Kamala Harris notes on. Swing the mic with me so I'm not talking from a distance. Paper, I got all the paper. All right, here we go. Which one is this one? Yeah, this is it. So Kamala Harris is right now finishing up her junket through Vietnam and Singapore, because I guess it was very important that they continue on with the meetings with low-level countries with whom we have some dealings and nothing important, I guess. But, you know, the thing that galls me is this has all been going on now during the Afghanistan crisis. Is she keeping track? I would assume so. She's a vice president. She's on Air Force Two. She's got the capabilities of keeping track. But is she looking for the optics of being a part of the process? No. I mean, okay, Hillary Clinton, I know when I said the name, some of you recoiled from your microphones. Stay with me. Hillary Clinton, when they took out Osama bin Laden, she made sure she was there in the Situation Room, and she was a part of that iconic picture of them gathered around listening as the mission unfolded, and Rob O'Neill put the rounds right into Osama bin Laden to include, I think he had two in the chest, one in the head. But all said and done, what we're looking at here now is Kamala Harris is traveling through the Far East, and she has made it around, and it was very important to her that she, where is this place in the article? Let me turn back to my spot. Oh, yes, it was very important that she meet with LGBTQ and climate change activists in Singapore. Are you hearing this? She just, I know, Copper, you, I just, I caught the reaction there.
Oh, God. That was my reaction.
I mean, that's it. So there's your vice president. This story is fresh off the wire. This is what has been happening. And she, you know, the first thing she says about the Afghans is, we're going to get everybody out, but, you know, it's important that they take care of women and children, which it is. And that she says she spent her entire career on the protection of women and children. Okay. And then she held an event earlier in the day with LGBTQ and climate change activists and also met with the country's prime minister on Wednesday. So today is Thursday, so that was yesterday. So in the middle of everything unfolding, her priorities are to go to foreign countries and meet with LGBTQ and climate change activists. That's what our vice president is doing right now. Is there any single wonder why she has the lowest approval rating of any vice president in history? In fact, where is that vice presidential rating? Let's see what this says. Am I correct? Yes. It says the title of this from the Washington Examiner. Okay, I said history. Let's go back 28 years because that's as long as they have polling on vice presidents. So that would make it history, but it's only 28 years worth of history to work with. Kamala Harris has an unprecedented negative rating right now. In the latest survey, pollster Bill McInturff pointed out her low positive rating is at 37% and said she has the lowest thermometer of any first-year VP going back to Gore in 1993 with an unprecedented very negative rating. Well, maybe that's because she's been assigned things like, oh, taking care of the border and did nothing with the border. And we're in the middle of the Afghanistan crisis right now, which is the biggest single issue of the decade. This is the defining moment right now. And where is she? Well, she's meeting with LGBTQ and climate change activists in Southeast Asia. What the heck, man? That is just unconscionable, in my opinion. And that's what we've got for leadership right now. That's who's in charge of our country right now. And it don't let it depress you, because I'm going to be honest with you. Here's a positive, all right? Let me come at you with some thoughts that you need. Am I frustrated? Oh, God, yes, I'm frustrated. It's like I said in my opening monologue, just show me the mission. Tell me where I can go. And I know there's a bunch of you out there. We feel that way. This is a we moment, because there's a whole lot of us right now. You are not alone in feeling that way. Turn up the volume, because I am telling you, you are not alone right now in feeling that way. We are frustrated. The interesting dynamic you have right now, and the piece you need to keep in mind, is that it took a Carter administration to bring us a Reagan. Let that sink in. It took a Carter administration, for all of its warts and blemishes and international embarrassments and losses of life, to bring us a Reagan administration and 8 years of unprecedented growth and the restoration of our integrity on the world stage and strength with honor. It took a Carter administration to bring us a Reagan. Well, folks, we're going to be moving to a short break. We come back from that break. I got the phone lines are going. I got one already on the hold. So Copper, if you just tell me to hang on, we got to take this break. When we come back, I'll be glad to get Don from Athens. But folks, this is a wide open day. And we're going to go to some regular segments that I know you and I both love, like Copper's Corner and the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. But we're going to be hitting breaking news as we go. It's 2:47 right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. And by God, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the biggest news talk station of North Alabama and the biggest show across afternoons in North Alabama is this one, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Well, apparently the phone lines lit up. I've got a clip that I want to use here in just a minute, but I see some folks that hung on during the break. So, Copper, I'll tell you what, let me go to line two and get Don from Athens. Hey, Don, Phil Williams from Right Side, what you got?
Hello, Phil. Don here. I heard you this day, and we've been frustrated all week. It's a tragic day. I heard you say this is going to be the defining moment of the decade, and I don't know if this is all. You got to realize what else is going on in Washington. Nobody's talking about the $3.5 trillion bill, the voting rights bill, the getting rid of filibuster, and as soon as the House got that done, Pelosi packed up and left for California or wherever she left for, and they're out of Dodge, and we're all sitting here screaming, rightfully so, about Afghanistan. But what the House did this week might be the defining moment in perpetuity. I mean, for our country, the next thousand years.
That's a great point, Don. You make a good point, and I tell you, maybe Don, what we need to look at is perhaps the defining moment of the decade was allowing Joe Biden to get elected, because that's where all of this is stemming from. Every bit of what you just described, including what we're talking about today with Afghanistan, all stems from the election of Joe Biden. And in my opinion, Don, all these never Trumpers, these so-called Republicans that just couldn't vote for the man who tweeted mean things, this is hanging on their head too, as far as I'm concerned. But hey, Don, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience, Don from Athens. Let me go next to Jeff from Indiana. Is that my man Jeff from Indiana? Phil Williams here on Right Side. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, this is him, man. How's it going?
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, I know how we can change this thing. Right now, the President Biden needs to immediately resign, because this is what happens when stupid people are in charge. People die.
Wow.
And he just as well be... he's treating our military like a George Floyd. He's got their knee on their neck. I mean, it's just irresponsible. I want to call on all the people who voted for Joe Biden to pretend that this is Donald Trump's thing, and Donald Trump is in the office right now. What would you be doing? Would you be going out and calling for his resignation?
Oh,
rioting
yeah.
in the streets and everything?
Oh, yeah.
If you're not
Jeff,
hypocrites, then, you know, go for it.
I'm going to tell you, Jeff, Pelosi never would have called for a recess. She'd still be in Washington screaming and calling for articles of impeachment, and there'd be half a dozen of them filed already. Hey, and Jeff, I got to ask you before, too. You're in Indiana, brother. How'd you find out about the Right Side Radio Show?
I drive down to past Huntsville on a truck route every day. So.
Oh, nice.
I listen to you on the iHeartRadio all the time.
Well, brother, I appreciate it, and thank you for being in the audience. You're a fast-moving right-side ruffian is what it sounds like, but we're glad to have you in the audience, Jeff from Indiana.
I'm lucky to be here.
Well, we appreciate it. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the call, man. You stay safe on the road. Let me go ahead and take, while we're at it, I tell you what, Copper, let's go ahead and take Gary from Decatur. Gary from Decatur calling in about Afghanistan. Hey, Gary, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What you got?
Well, this is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was thinking about what you were saying about Carter gave us Reagan. And you see that all the time in, you know, in the government situation, in our elections, where I remember when Bill Clinton was president, sold guided missile technology to North Korea. Mm. And they couldn't make their missiles fly, and so we wind up with the missile popping up going over there when he was in when Trump was in power. And then when we wind up having to, you know, Clinton gave us George Bush, and then George Bush fought for us, you know, with the Afghanistan deal, and also lost my word there, but anyway, I'm trying to communicate about the situation. I wanted to know, and I figured I'm right. I'm asking a person that can fill me in. How does a four-star general make four-star general?
Jerry, I don't know, but I'm not sure that's the topic right now. But what is it, a rhetorical question, or do you have a real question there?
Well, no, it's a political thing. As they, you know, when General Flynn, he was from Rhode Island, and I think
He was a three-star
Democrat appointee to general, and then when Trump invited him to come over to his team, everything tore up. I mean,
and Jerry, to answer your question, most of the four stars wind up being combatant commanders. They wind up, you know, being like the commander of CENTCOM. There are four-star level positions that you have to be promoted into, and then we don't have five stars, generally speaking, as a matter of rule. There have only been, I think, two in the history of the United States. Hey, Jerry, thanks for the call, man, from Decatur. We appreciate you being in the audience, and you've called in several times. We appreciate you every time, so thanks, Jerry. Thanks for calling in. Hey, listen, folks, we're up against that hard break. Copper, that clip we've got was clip 8. And that one is, I'm looking at it right now, it's only 24 seconds long. But I don't think we're going to make it. So I tell you what we're going to do, Copper. We're going to do that right after the first of the hour before we go to Copper's Corner. Is that good with you?
Sure thing.
All right. Well, listen, folks, hard break right now. Top of the hour. News. Listen to the news because you're going to hear news reports right now. We're hearing, in fact, okay, breaking news as we're speaking right here at 2:59, reports of another large blast near the airport in Kabul. That's fresh right now. I'm looking at it on the TV. I'll let you know what I see when I come back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back after this.